Luke 18, 9 through 17. Let's begin in verse 1 so we have a full picture of this. Beginning in verse 1. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and to not lose heart, saying, "There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, 'Give me legal protection from my opponent.' And for a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, 'Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection, lest by continually coming she wears me out.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now shall not God bring about justice for his elect, who cry to him day and night, and will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" Then here, beginning in verse 9, he moves on to tell another parable. He's going to use two examples. Let's look at it. It says in verse 9, "And he also told this parable to certain ones who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men," here's the parable, "two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector, a tax gatherer. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself." And was he praying to God or to himself here? To himself, right. "God," he says, "God, I thank thee that I'm not like other people. Swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get." But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humble, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted." And they were bringing even their babies to him so that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they began rebuking them. The disciples apparently had forgot what Jesus had just shared about pride, because here he begins to say that the children are not allowed, which is what? Elevating themselves. Listen to what it says. "But Jesus called for them, saying, 'Permit the children to come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it at all.'" May God bless the reading of His Word. Beginning there in verse 9. Let's go ahead and get started. I told you that this was a continuation. He's just going to piggyback off of what he had already said about prayer in the first one. The first parable in chapter 18, 1 through 8, we noticed last time that we met that the lady had a problem, and she took it to the governor of the land to be able to take care of that problem. She needed legal protection, and so she went directly to that person. And it was all about, this is all about prayer. And then we start here in verse 9, and it says, "And he also told the parable to certain ones who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt." Christ moves on from the first, from the persistent widow, and now he speaks to the heart posture of someone that receives from the Lord's hand because of the position they come to Him in. Let me say that again because I want you to understand it. The first one, this persistent widow, she doesn't stop. She keeps going to Him, and we know that we are to continue to do that. And now He moves on to the next one. It's all about heart posture. Heart posture of someone that receives from the Lord's hand because of the position they come to Him in. The Pharisee did not go to the Lord in the right position, did he? Are y'all awake, any of y'all? I know it's Wednesday and it's hot outside, but we've got to get in here. Pharisee didn't go in the right, he didn't have the right position. He didn't have the right posture. Interior and exterior was all messed up in this Pharisee, and he thought he was right. In our parable, we have a Pharisee and we have a tax collector. Not one was better than the other. The Pharisee was bad. He had religious problems. He thought that because of his religion and his lineage and all of these things that he did, all of the robes that he wore, that he could justify himself. The tax collector was a sellout for the Jews. Employed by the Roman government, turning in his own people for money to the Roman government. Both of them bad, right? Both of them. And it's interesting to note that there are two examples given to us here. One that was prideful and one that was humble. We know as we went through these parables and even as you go through the scripture, you see this played out again and again and again and again. Even on the cross, you had two thieves and two of them, both of them were bad. But one of them repented. One of them said, "Lord, I love you. I want to be with you. Remember me." The other one continued to curse him. And so you have this picture of two. One that does and one that doesn't, right? We've talked about it before. The sheep and the goats. Here we have the humble and those that are full of pride. In this case, you have one justified and one that is not. So the point is, you either are or you ain't. Right? Can't get around this. This is not hard. You either are or you're not. In the last day, there will be those that have been justified and those that have not been justified. Plain and simple. Regardless of how busy we get during our day and the things that grab at our attention and the things that distract us, at the end of time, the Lord is going to square everything up. And you either will be or you won't be. And so we see this difference all the way played out through Scripture. Now let's look at the heart posture for just a moment. Verse 10, it says, two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. I want you to notice that both went to the temple to pray. Both recognized prayer. Both went to the temple to pray. They recognized that prayer was essential. They realized, both of them, that they needed to go because it was at the temple where they would go, even according to 1 Kings, to where they wanted their prayers heard, they would go to the temple. Or even when they prayed, if they couldn't get there, they would face then the temple so that their prayers would be heard. So that you know that these two men realize the importance of prayer, but they go about it all the wrong way. Verse 11, the Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself. And here we see this posture. He's standing, right? He's standing. And the Bible says that he was praying to himself. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself. God, I thank thee. The Pharisee undoubtedly stood to get attention from those that were in the concourse that were standing around. The temple was a big place. The court was a big place. And so where this man would have been at, it would have been in a position. He was in a position to where people could have seen him, to where people could have heard him, because he wanted to be seen and he wanted to be heard. This is not how you come to the Lord. He wanted the praise of man. He wanted to exalt himself. This is very clear in the passage. This is one of the easiest. Like I said last week, these two on prayer are very, very simple. The Pharisee was praying to himself. You reckon it'll do any good to pray to yourself? Don't make sense, does it? He might even use the word God in his prayer, but that doesn't mean that he's talking to him. Right or wrong? Right. Scripture says he was praying to himself. Listen to this. Listen to his prayer. God, I thank thee that I am not like other people. If you hear a prayer like this start, there's a good chance you'll know that this guy is not right. Okay? If you're going to a church and the minister gets up or other people get up and they begin to pray like this, understand you probably either need to go to the Lord in prayer about it or leave or address them or do something, because this is not right. This man thought he was right, but he actually was not. He says, God, I think that I'm not like other people. Swindlers. Unjust. Adulterers. Or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and pay all my tithes. This man, as a Pharisee, should have known and did know, but there's a difference in knowing and truly knowing and doing what the Lord, what the Word says. See, he was an expert of the Word of God, but he had forgot the wisdom of Solomon. He had forgot the wisdom of King David. These men teach us through the Psalms, through the Proverbs. They teach us that the Lord hates a proud look. Did the Pharisee forget this? Yes, he did. He may have known it, but I promise you the Word of God was not working in his life, or he wouldn't have said what he did. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way in the perverted mouth I hate. These six things that the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look hits the top of the charts. The Pharisee, when he stood up to speak, he stood up in a place, and y'all pray that I don't fall, but he stood up in a place where everybody could see him. You understand what I'm telling you? I don't like heights. But he stood up in a place where everybody could see him. Because he wanted to be seen, he wanted to be heard. But the Lord tells us in the book of Proverbs that he hates a proud look. This man forgot that. Pride is not a way to find favor with God. Pride was found in Lucifer, was it not? In the beginning, pride was found in Lucifer, and he was kicked out. He was kicked out of heaven. You move on from there, and it doesn't take very long to see that in the beginning, pride was found in Adam and Eve. Satan, what did he tell them? Oh, that's not what God says. When you eat of the fruit, don't you know that you will be like gods? What happened? Boy, they get swelled up. They get lifted up. Pride. Wasn't long after that, what happened? They were kicked out as well. You see the pattern that I'm getting at? Satan was kicked out. Here Adam and Eve are kicked out. And then you go on to their children, Cain and Abel. Abel brought a more pleasing sacrifice unto the Lord. Cain was jealous. Cain got mad. Cain was just like, well, why in the world is my sacrifice ain't that good? Blah, 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 blah. What happened to him when he swelled up? He got a mark placed on him. And away he went. What I'm telling you is there's no room for pride when it comes to serving the Lord. There just isn't. There just isn't. You want to get kicked out, there is. This Pharisee in our text thought that because of the religious contributions that he had given to the temple, the good works and all that he was, that he was justified before God. And it just isn't so. It just isn't. Let me explain to you his mentality. This means that he would have earned his salvation by works. Can we earn our salvation by works? No. Because then what does that do? It makes God the debtor, doesn't it? You say, what do you mean? I'll tell you what I mean. If you earn your salvation by works, then God is in debt to give you that salvation. And the last time I checked, salvation was not by works. The Lord does not owe us anything. His salvation is a free gift from heaven to us. It is called grace. And it cannot be earned. Grace is a free gift. It cannot be purchased. It cannot be earned by mere mortal man. The moment that grace is earned by sinful man, it ceases to be grace. The moment that it is earned by man, it ceases to be grace, because that goes against the very definition of what grace is. It cannot be earned. The Pharisee was righteous in his own eyes, no doubt about it, and he wanted everybody else to know it. He cared not for the true form of religion. He didn't. He didn't care about the Lord. He cared about himself. Today, this mentality is still around, isn't it? It's still prevalent in the church, and it's still prevalent in the world. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. If all you have is Sunday or Wednesday religion, so you can feel better, that won't cut it. If all you have is giving, if all you have is selling out for the poor, if all you have is giving your body to be burned at the stake, that won't cut it. It just won't. The Pharisee even condemns the tax collector that was standing by. I can see him now standing on the precipice in some high place where he could be seen and heard. And the lowly tax collector over here, who knows that he's a wicked man, won't even raise his head up. And here this Pharisee is looking down on him through the bottom of his nose. Like this. You ever seen people walk with their nose in there? That's what I'm talking about. He was looking down on this tax collector through the bottom of his nostrils. Just like this. Because he was so much better. He's condemning the tax collector that was standing nearby. He is judging the tax collector. He is saying the tax collector is terrible. Verse 13, listen to what he says. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. So we've looked at the Pharisee and the heart posture of the Pharisee. And the heart posture of the Pharisee was not broken, was not bent over, was not low, but was high and exalted and lifted up as a person could be lifted up. He had the wrong heart posture. He knew that prayer was critical, but he still had the wrong heart posture. It just wasn't right. But then we get to this tax collector that's standing some distance away. It says he was not even willing to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. How many people have been in this position tonight? How many people have been that tax collector who has found themselves knowing that they are a sinner by nature, by practice, by being just simply left alone? They are set on self-destruct. How many people today understand the heart of this tax collector by show of hands? Look at his heart posture. First, I want you to see this. This man felt completely unworthy to be standing in the temple. He felt unworthy to be even in the place where the presence of God was supposed to be at. And so you know that his conscience was tender and it was sensitive to the presence of God. He felt unworthy to even be in the very spot where he was at. He was nervous by even coming in there. Listen to what it says. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven. We must realize that we are not worthy of anything of God. If you think that the Lord owes you salvation, owes you something, I've got terrible news for you. We better realize that we are blessed to be able to take part in the ministry that the Lord has called us to in the first place. We're not worthy of anything of our Lord. We're not worthy of our great God and King. We're not worthy of His perfect Son, Jesus Christ. And when we realize this, this is how we are to come to Him. This is the heart posture that we are to come to Him in. Yes, we can come before Him with boldness. But your heart better be brought low before you enter in. Matthew in chapter 5, listen to what it says. The Sermon on the Mount, you don't have to turn there. I've got it right here. Matthew in chapter 5. Very easy, easy passage of Scripture. But as Christ teaches and as He starts, and this is Christianity 101. As He starts the greatest sermon that's ever been preached, as He starts the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3, He tells us the very thing that I'm telling you right now. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Who's the poor in spirit? I'll tell you who the poor in spirit is. This tax collector was the poor in spirit. This poor in spirit tax collector, he came and he came broken. He came ruined and he came undone. He didn't even feel worthy of being there. He didn't feel worthy that he could even lift up his head. A huge cry from the Pharisee who went before him. So this man came in broken. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The tax collector came in broken. Second, it says that the man was unwilling even to lift up his eyes to heaven. Why? Because he knew, like David, that his sin was ever before him. His sin was ever before him. He knew just like David did. David said that, "My sin's ever before me. Lord, what can I do?" The Pharisee, I mean, he was a far cry from saying. He didn't even think anything about it. Everything that he said went against it. But here we have in the text this tax collector who is admitting. He is crying out. He is admitting that he is a sinner. He was broken over his sin, and this led to a great heart posture. He couldn't raise himself up because he was so broken over sin. This man was in great despair. So he turns to the only one that can help him, just as the persistent widow did in verses 1 through 8. Unlike the Pharisee, this man realized without a doubt that he absolutely 110% was a sinner. What was his heart posture? His heart posture is what we talked about in Matthew in chapter 5 in verse 3. He was poor in spirit. He was broken. He was busted. He was ruined and he was undone. And he knew that he was a sinner. And he came to confess that he was a sinner. And he knew that he was unworthy of anything from God. And this is the position that we have to come in. This is the heart posture. It was low, just like the persistent widow. The third thing I want you to see is we see his prayer. His heart posture of spiritual brokenness leads to a crying out for mercy. He was broken over his sin, and his brokenness led to a crying out of mercy, for mercy. What does this show us? It shows us that the full weight of this man's sin had came to his heart. He understood what it was, regardless if the Pharisee did or not. The scripture says that he beat his chest. You've seen somebody do this. And I think about them guys that after they dunk a basketball in the pros. I could dunk it one time. I don't know if y'all knew that. But you've seen them guys on TV after they dunk a basketball in the pros. They come out and say, yeah, yeah, yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about. This man was beating his chest like that. Not because of something good that he had done, but because of the sin that was found inside of him. He was broken. The full weight of his sin had came to his heart. And it led to a crying out for mercy. And what was his prayer? God, be merciful to me, the sinner. He owns it, doesn't he? Does he blame this on the Pharisee? Does he blame it on his daddy that took advantage of him when he was a little boy? Or what about his mama or his aunt or his uncle that caused problems in his life his whole life? He didn't blame it on nobody. He took the sin as it was and he says, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. He didn't blame anybody else for his own wickedness, as people do so often today. He owned it, and he took it, and he gave it to the Lord. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. He calls on the name of the Lord. The second thing you see is plea, is be merciful. And why does he call on the Lord? Because he is a sinner. He recognizes his own wickedness and says, Lord, please have mercy on me, a sinner. And then it says in verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified and right standing with God, just as if he had never sinned. This man went down to his house just as if he had never sinned rather than the other. And then the Lord says, for everyone who exalts himself will be humble. I believe that Pharisee, I don't know when it happened, but I know the scripture is true, and I know that Pharisee was humbled. There's no doubt about it. He was brought down at some point. Who exalts himself shall be humbled, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted. And even as Christians, we have to be very, very careful not to get into this position as judging and condemning others. Letting pride in. When you do that as Christians, man, it'll ruin you. Listen to what happens to the disciples. And this is exactly what's going on in the text. Jesus is teaching this parable and his disciples are doing it. Listen to what happens. And they were bringing even their babies to him so that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they began rebuking them. The disciples had forgotten that the Lord was talking about pride and humility. They didn't think that the children were good enough to be around the Lord. Now, he don't have time for them kids. He don't have time for all of that. Jesus, we ain't got time for that. But the Lord says this, But Jesus called for them, saying, "Permit the children to come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it at all." Even as Christians, this attitude has to be far from us. It has to be far from us. We can't get around it. Pride, when we come before the Lord with pride, He can't stand it. He hates it. He hates it. So if you find yourself praying and you find yourself swelled up with pride because something good that you've done, you need to check yourself again and go back and get a little bit lower. And get a little bit lower and get a little bit lower. So tonight, it's simple. Tonight we see the Pharisee, we see the publican. Tonight we see the widow who was consistently persistent on prayer. Then we see the Pharisee and the publican, one that went to the Lord right and one that did not. One that had a right heart posture and one that did not. And my question to you tonight is, what is your heart posture? Before the Lord, what is your heart posture? Are you righteous? This Pharisee thought that he was. He had the wrong heart posture. If your righteousness is anything but found in Jesus Christ, then you're wrong. So tonight, what is your heart posture? Let's go to the Lord in prayer.